Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey everyone, just me at the top of the show to thank you for the support throughout this time, especially on Patreon. Thank you very much, everyone who's financially supporting the show. And also thanks everyone who's been supporting through social media. That means a lot. People who are saying they're coming back into the show after having a bit of time off, and someone, Daniel, has listened to like 100 episodes in this lockdown period. So thank you very much for all those messages. They do mean a lot. Hey, just before we get into this episode, yes, we are locked down, can't get into Stupido Studios where I normally record, so this one was recorded at my house over Zoom. So sometimes some people will dip out. I've tried to edit. You reckon it's hard to listen to? Ooh, you get in the edit suite. Woohoo, that's hard. But it sounds fine, and you do get used to it. Like it does sound like it's a Zoom call, but that's what it was. So thanks for sticking through it. And thanks for sticking by me. That's all I need to say at the top of the show. Please tell your friends, subscribe to the show, spread the word around. It means a lot. And let's enjoy this episode 220 of Don't You Know Who I Am. Hello and welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast that asks who knows whom. Who knows what, because who knows why. My name is Josh Earle, and this week on the internet, I discovered, well, long-time listeners already know about this guy, but we're going back to Bracknell in the UK, where a handyman called Josh Earle last year was looking for an apprentice. Well, it seems that apprentice didn't stick, because he's looking for another one. So if you're in the Bracknell area, £20,000 a year, work for Josh Earle. Seems all right for an apprentice. That seems too much, but anyway, he's looking. So there you go. Hey, if this is your first time to the podcast, what I do, I get four very funny people, and I quiz them all about their lives. So let's meet them now. Our first guest is a comedian who shares her name with an English musician and one-time Suede member. Can you please welcome from the Dragon Friends podcast, it's Alex Lee. Yay. Hey, Alex.
Hello. What musician is that?
He's the keyboardist for a whole bunch of bands, but the biggest one was Suede. He was a full-time member of the band Suede from the year 2000 to 2003. So long after they were in the Brit pop wars, but yeah.
Oh, I'm glad that I'm the main one now.
Yeah, there are a lot of Alex Lees on LinkedIn as well.
Yeah.
What, heaps and heaps of lawyers and heaps of real estate agents.
There was a young boy who worked at Target in America a few years ago, and he went viral because he was hot. And he was really taking the Alex Lee name. I couldn't get Alex Lee as my Facebook page because of the hot boy from Target.
Our next guest shares his name with a Tennessee Santa Claus and an award-winning writer of fantasy, children's stories and suspense thrillers with Christian themes and family reads and folklore. Can you please welcome, it's Joseph Moore. Yay.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd not heard of any of those.
Well, it's all the one guy.
Wow, okay. I thought there was like a Christian theme author. There's a Christian photographer in Texas, and there was a guy in the movie The Other Boleyn Girl, and his acting in that got added to my IMDb, which I was really, really stoked about.
Nice. Because this guy is a full-time Santa Claus. He looks so, and he hosts a TV show in Tennessee public radio all about Santa. So you write him letters to Santa Claus and he answers.
All year round?
Well, maybe, but he keeps the look all year round.
Okay, great.
So I don't know.
You never know when you could be called upon.
Also joining us is another first-timer to the podcast. When you type her name into Google, it asks, did you mean Audrey Horne, the character from Twin Peaks? Can you please welcome, also from New Zealand, it's Audrey Porn. Yay!
Hello.
How you doing, Audrey?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here.
Now, we were just talking off air that you and Joseph have never met.
Mm. No.
We know a lot of the same people, but we've never actually met, despite New Zealand being tiny.
Well, then Tim pointed out my probably, you know, is it racism? Is it just being dumb? That, of course, everyone in New Zealand doesn't know each other. So, yeah. Who is this Tim
about? We know most of each other. Audrey's one of the few people I haven't met.
And finally is a man who shares his name with the president of Emirates Airlines. Can you please welcome back to the podcast? It's Tim Clark. Yay.
Yes. Woo. C to the L to the ARK. Everyone's favorite. Don't you know who I am? Guest me, Timmy Clark. Here to win, baby. I like we've circled around with all the Tim Clarks. We've gone through the jockeys and the masseuse.
Yes.
We're back to the CEO of Emirates.
Yeah, well, this was like, I was writing this late last night. And so I thought, what?
Mate, I love it. Yeah. I love it. He's probably got more full-time work than Santa Claus at this point.
I don't know if he would he? They're not flying that much.
Oh, but you still retain. Yeah, it's all about the mantle, you know? You just want the title.
All right, our first game today is called Social Media. Well, I'll read out status updates by the four of you. If you think you know who wrote these tweets, buzz in. Your names are your buzzers. You get a point if you get it right, a point to the person who actually wrote the tweet if you're incorrect. So you don't lose points, so don't worry about getting it wrong. And you guys have just met each other, so as if you're going to know each other's tweets. Your name's your buzzer. You can't buzz in for your own ones. Our first question is this one. Lol, you shit with the lights on? Grow up.
Alex.
Yes, Alex.
Is that Tim?
No, that is Audrey. A point for Audrey. There you go. Audrey's on the board. Not having to do anything. It's very good.
I like to know that I strike the kind of figure of a man who shits exclusively in the dark. I'm doing stuff in there you don't want to see.
I've never heard of someone in the dark taking a shit. But this is something that I've also discovered recently. That, on the note, Tim, Joe, you could help me out here. Apparently there's a lot of men who take their shirts off when they...
I can't help you out there, I'm afraid, Josh. But I have no experience.
Yeah, me either. This is what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I've never heard of this, but apparently this was a cliche thing, a stereotype of men.
If I were already shirtless in my home and then needing to take a shit, I would put a shirt on to do the shit.
I think it's really... Before they get into the bathroom, like, and then put it on afterwards, or do they get down, sit down, and then take it off?
I think it's a real sign of, like, a struggle street kind of situation where you need a... You need that extra leverage so you whip it off.
Yeah.
It's only if it's like a really bad one, you know, and you're like, you've got the sweats. Maybe.
If I start doing real bad riffs and not getting any laughs, I'm going to take my shirt off halfway through this recording, just so you know I'm here to really entertain.
All right. Next question. If you thought gendered toilets were bad, I once went to a 50s-themed diner that had one toilet for Elvis Presley, one for Marilyn Monroe, and none for anyone else.
Tim?
Yes, Tim.
Joseph?
You are correct. Yes, a point there for Tim. Yes.
Correct. It was in Prague, if you want to know.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yes, when in Prague, go to the Hard Rock Cafe.
Yeah. When in Prague, shit as the Pragans do. I once got very, very drunk at a Mexican restaurant and went to the toilets there, and one was like enchiladas and the other one was tacos, and I didn't know which was which, and I just had an existential crisis.
Well, I hate myself for thinking this, but I would go, well, tacos is female, right?
But wouldn't you do burrito for men then?
Enchiladas seems accurate. I was once in one that had the male symbol and the female symbol, the classical symbol, and I didn't remember which was which. All I remembered was the one Austin Powers had on his necklace. I was trying to figure out whether he would wear his own gender symbol or like his favoured gender to have sex with. And I still couldn't figure that out, so I just held on.
Just
if I know Austin Powers, and I think I do, he seems like a man who could wear both and pull them off.
Next question. The fat controller must be pretty cheesed off that those rude-ass trains keep calling him that, given that he's the only controller around.
Tim?
Yes, Tim.
Alex.
You are correct. Another point there for Tim, yes.
All right.
Yeah.
I got roasted for that tweet because apparently it was factually incorrect.
Actually,
there's more than one controller on Soda. And I was like, shut up, you nerds. I've been watching this because I have to.
Yeah.
Because I have a kid. I'm not being forced to.
Surely Thomas the Tank Engine reply guys are the worst type of reply guys. Well, someone's not familiar with the lore.
Yeah. It really reveals more about yourself than it does anyone else.
Okay, next question. When there's more than one fork next to my dinner plate at a restaurant, I get nervous. How am I supposed to eat all those forks?
Joseph.
Yes, Joseph.
Tim?
No, that is Audrey. Another point there for Audrey. Yeah.
God. Why does no one believe in Audrey's ability to do great tweets? Because she's famous for them.
Because I'm from Christchurch. I don't know.
I'm giving this away because I'm laughing at everyone else's tweets that aren't mine. So I've got to start laughing at my own terrible tweets.
Yeah, it'll come up. You'll be able to laugh.
Ugh.
All right, next one. My orgasm noise is the Netflix da-dow.
Audrey.
Yes, Audrey.
Is it Joseph?
No, that is Tim. Point for Tim, yes.
But thank you for thinking that.
Right.
I did a lot of Googling to try and figure out how to spell the Netflix da-dow sound, and I don't think there's any consensus online.
I was worried about reading that out. I was like, is this going to work in an oral form, not just a written form?
Some would argue it barely works written down either. Yeah. And on top of that, my partner's orgasm sound is the stand sound. There's no sound.
She just yells, "Stan!"
Yeah, her first husband.
My wife says the YouTube ads I skip after 5 seconds. It's like, great. Yes.
Did someone say KFC?
Yeah. Next question, question six. I always thought Kmart and Target were enemies, when in fact they were sisters.
Joseph.
Okay. Yes, Joseph.
Alex?
Yes, you are correct. Yeah. Another point. Oh, a point there for Joseph. First point there for Joseph.
I was we don't have Target in New Zealand, so I was doing a bit of,
detective work.
Yeah.
Well, they're two companies that I always thought were in competition, but in fact are owned by the same parent company.
Oh, yeah.
What?
That doesn't make sense.
I was like, well, I'm treating myself, so I'm going to go to Target instead of Kmart. It's all the same.
Oh, wow. I've been slumming a Big W.
But I'm still, you don't have Target in New Zealand?
No.
What about Target country?
Well, it's been a treat to go to Target when we leave New Zealand, but now knowing that it's the same as Kmart, it's great.
I'm less sad now that we can't travel anymore because I was really looking forward to a big Target spend up in Melbourne. But.
Well, there's that thing when people go to America and they want to go to Walmart. It's like, I'm sure it's the same as all the other Big W's, Targets.
Oh, well, apparently, there's an American comedian here, and she was telling me that, in Walmart in the States, you can get your nails done, you can get your hair done, they have pharmacies. It's like a whole, that you could just live there.
Oh, okay. So it's big. Okay. Well, now I want to go
back to
America.
That sounds pretty good. We should all get to the States as fast as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the place to be.
Seems like a cool place right now. Next question. Worst drink of all time, Camp Milo. Thanks for this Milo mixed with lukewarm water, you stingy ass parent volunteer.
Alex.
Yes, Alex.
Audrey?
No, that was Joseph. Point there for Joseph, yes.
That's a throwback.
He was really enjoying it. He was enjoying going back to camp.
Yeah.
Well, at least you have Milo in New Zealand. That is good.
Yeah, we do. So there will be some cultural references that make sense.
Do you not have Milo in Australia?
No, we do.
Oh, you do?
I actually thought it was an Australian drink.
Yeah, so did I.
I think we were going through we were all doing the mental gymnastics of, okay, well, he can't have two things in a row that are Australian specific.
But it really was. A Camp Milo, terrible.
Mm.
If you have I like a cold Milo, minimum 4 teaspoons. Okay. Minimum.
Mm.
Like, anything less is like just like spitting in my mouth.
Camp Milo is brown watery milk. Yeah. That's all it was.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Next question. Did you see what that magician was wearing? Wow. That outfit is simply ta-da for.
Audrey.
Yes, Audrey.
Was it Alex?
No, that was Tim. A point there for Tim.
Yes. Read them and weep, kids. Laughing at your own tweets. That's how you bluff.
So Tim's tell is onomatopoeia.
Did you see a magician and then come up with that tweet? Do you remember how that, how that sort of came to
Let's figure out how
life?
The sausage was made, Tim.
Yeah, that's what I love most about magicians, the way they dress. I think people need to wear more vests, more rolled up sleeves.
Really, if you love a vest, though, your only two job opportunities are magician or usher at the cinema. They're the only two places where you can wear a nice satin vest.
Mm. And I reckon there's a lot of crossover in the open mic magician crowd, as well as people who usher at the Sydney Meyer Music Bowl.
I should also point out, I didn't realise this, but Tim has actually changed his name on the Zoom call to Mr. Podcast. Just, it's a real, real alpha move there.
Please, Mr. Podcast was my father's name.
Next question. Just had a big lovely walk around about the Louvre. Talk about four Cezannes in one day.
Audrey.
Yes, Audrey.
Is it Joseph?
That is Joseph, yes. A point there for Audrey, yes. Yes. It's almost like Tim and Joseph are the one brain, just two sides of the one brain.
Yeah. Hey, who needs life hacks when your life is fully hack?
I was going, who looks like they've gone to Paris?
Yeah.
When Joseph was talking about Prague before, I thought, oh, no, he's given it away. He's a seasoned traveller.
All my tweets are European observations.
And our final question for the round. I ate an entire jar of bees in a dream for you once, and you won't even text me back.
Tim?
Yes, Tim.
Audrey?
You are correct. Yes, another point there for Tim. Yes.
All right.
Very good.
Very good stuff.
When you said a jar of bees, I thought, all right, this has got Joe Moore written all over it. But when it was in a dream, oh, a twist in the tale.
All right, at the end of that round, the scores are Alex, 0 points.
Hell yeah.
But you've been a part of it.
Thanks.
Joseph, 2 points.
Wow.
Audrey. Right. Audrey sitting on 3 points, but in the lead, it's Mr. Podcast himself on 5 points. It's Tim Clark.
Woo!
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, this round is called Birds Do It, Bees Do It, Even Educated Fleas Do It, Let's Do It, Let's Annoy Dogs. This round, to quote Salt and Pepper, let's talk about sex, baby. That's right. And today we're going back to a young Tim Clark, whose parents were doing the responsible thing and teaching young Tim all about sex. But how did they do it? And more importantly, how did Tim react? Was it A, they invited their local youth pastor from their church to come over and explain about it through a PowerPoint presentation? Tim was stoked because the pastor brought over the church projector for their lounge room, and Tim asked him if he could borrow it for the week and bring it back on Sunday. The pastor said yes, and Tim didn't listen to a word of the presentation because the whole time he was thinking how sick it's going to be to hook his Nintendo up to the projector. So that's A. B. His mum and dad both individually told him about it. His mum went first and was very scientific and said, your dad will tell you about the other stuff. But when his dad came into the bedroom, his dad said, you don't need me to go into this, do you? And Tim said, no. And his dad said, all right, well, I'll just wait in here for a bit so your mum thinks we're talking. About 20 minutes later, his dad just left. Or was it C, they put on an educational video and left Tim alone? Tim got bored not very long into it, so stopped the video and replaced it with Ghostbusters 2. Now, one of these is correct. You guys can ask him as many questions as you want to try and get the truth out of him, but bear in mind, he wants you to get it wrong, so he gets your point. The floor is open for questions. Ask away.
I would like to point out, not one of those stories ends with me having a comprehensive and healthy understanding of sexual intercourse. A trait I'm proudly carrying to this day.
Yeah, I'd like to ask you, where do babies come from?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's about birds having sex with bees, which they can do in dreams. There could be jars full of birds, fucking jars full of bees.
What year did you learn about sex?
This would have been late 90s, probably like 98, 99, so I was around 8 or 9 years old at the time.
What Nintendo console did you have growing up, if any?
I'll address the Senate floor. We just got a Nintendo 64. We were kind of late, so I had like a SNES up until that point, but we just got one from our cousin, so I was very, very keen to crack onto that one. Which I think you'll find, counselor, lines up with the timeline perfectly.
Yeah. It does.
Could you just quickly take us through the plot of Ghostbusters 2?
Oh, do you hate ghosts? So do I.
Oh, for the listener, spoiler alert. Okay, go for it.
Oh, yeah, true. So we finished Ghostbusters 1 on a real cliffhanger. Can you still bust ghosts? I don't know. Does it make me feel good? If only there was a song to tell us how. Ghostbusters 2 picks up 5 years later, full cast return, and baby, there's ghosts in New York City. The city's so nice, they spooked it twice. Manhattan. Man, Hatton, taking my Hatton off to you. Ivan Reitman, I'm guessing. Ghostbusters 2 picks off with Bill Murray. He's back, baby. And you got Ivan Reitman, as previously established. Rick Moranis. He's no Moran for running away from the paycheck of Ghostbusters 2. Ernie Hudson. Miracle... Some people say Captain Sullenberger was the real miracle on the Hudson, but I reckon that's Ernie Hudson from Oz.
Hang on, can I just stop you there? Ernie Hudson, he was the one who came out and said the original Ghostbusters were meant to all be about him until Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray signed on. Is this true?
Well, I hope so, because he was the real miracle on the Hudson, as opposed to Dan Aykroyd. Who is also in this movie? Sigourney Weaver. Good. Peter McNichol, who would later go on to be in TV's Ally McBeal.
And Bean, Ultimate Disaster Movie. Anyway.
Bean, Ultimate Disaster Movie.
I don't think this guy was
around when ghosts were attacking. How big of a disaster does Mr. Bean have to be? I feel I answered the question adequately.
Does anyone remember the plot of any movie they saw in 1998? I don't think this tells us anything.
1998. What came out in 98? I know 99 was a very good year for movies.
What year was Space Jam?
Space Jam was like
96.
Right.
Yeah. Jordan was just back in the league.
Mm. What about you want me to go through?
Mummy came out in like 99, didn't it? 98.
What came out in 99?
The Mummy?
That's 99, I'm sorry.
99, yeah. 98, you had things like Saving Private Ryan, starring Tom Hanks. Hanks for the memories, Tom. Great performance. Tom Sizemore. How about a little Tom Sizeless? Matt Damon. More like, Matt Damn, son. What a performance.
I feel like we're going to see all of these as tweets later.
Yeah.
Yep, you are.
Can you please wait until Thursday, Tim? Just when this episode's released, and then you can go for it.
But anyway, yeah, Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's airtight. There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no,
okay.
No
any,
way that didn't happen.
Any questions about B, which was his mum came in and then his dad came in after and just sat there in silence?
Was it complete silence? Did your dad, did you talk about something else or was it just deathly silence?
Well, we talked about, you know, while he was mostly concerned about why he had to do it and why the schools weren't doing it. My dad was a military man. I was a bit of an army brat, so we moved around a little bit. So he wasn't in the business of talking about his feelings a lot or getting into uncomfortable conversations with his children. But we talked about, like, oh, I'm paying all this money for school. Why aren't they teaching you? Why do I have to do it? But he kind of figured that, you know, like most things, mum would have handled the heavy lifting in that one.
So he went in depth in that 20 minutes questioning your schooling and the school system and the sexual education curriculum.
He said, when it comes to getting screwed, we're talking about my wallet here, Tim.
And that one joke formed the basis of my entire comedic style 20 years later. He then opened up his really late 90s IMDb, and then we went through individually actors and had to make puns based on what they said. And if I failed, we were moving again, Tim. I know you've made friends here.
Do people think they know what they're going
to lock in? I've got a feeling. I've got a quick couple. What denomination of church was the pastor with the projector from?
I'm not really sure. It was a small town. I mean, we were raised Catholic, and I'm guessing he would have been, but now that I think about it, maybe he was from a different school because it was a small town. I, up until now, just assumed he was Catholic, but he might have been otherwise.
Was it a service he offered, or did your parents come up with the idea of bringing the projector around? Or was it like he goes door to door, giving it to every kid?
a door-to-door sex salesman. That's what the church needs. He was the guy who would also go out to other schools and give the presentation and such. So they were just thinking, may as well just do it here. And the projector was a new... Before that, it was one of those ones that heat up really quickly. We have to slide the... I can't remember what they call the plastic sheets underneath in a projector, but this one, this is real top-of-the-line 1998 digital projector.
Do you remember anything about what he said?
Not really, no. You know, I got the basics of it. You know, penis, vagina, we get it. But I was mostly thinking about just like, wow, I can't wait to play WWF No Mercy on this bad boy. And then I did. It was sick. It was so good. We had it in the shed and Mum put up like a big like white sheet and I had friends around. Oh, it was so good.
So your mum was in on this con from the beginning.
Well, you know, we had it for a week. So we had it in the garage and I pestered my mum. So she pegged up the sheet and then helped me plug in those... The red cable, the yellow cable, and the white cable. Yeah, it was awesome. I've just stayed up so late. Fuck, it was good. Take me back. Thirsty Merc were right. Just take me back.
All right, what are people locking in?
Yeah, I'm locking in that one because even if it's not true, I want it to be true for Tim because it sounds like he has such a great time. So A.
Okay,
A
so you're locking in, Joseph is locking in A. Okay, Audrey.
I think I'm going to lock in A because, yeah, I remember getting super excited about Nintendo and my cousins had a PlayStation. It's vibe. I'm going to lock in A.
Okay, and Alex?
I'm going to go like heads or tails rules in trivia and lock in B just to be a point of difference.
You're going to lock in B. Okay, the correct answer, everyone, was C.
Oh,
they put on
dude.
A video and he watched Ghostbusters 2 instead.
No way! What?
Bustin' makes me feel good. Of course I know the plot to Ghostbusters 2. It's so good.
Is that what put it in your head to watch Ghostbusters? They're talking about busting. You're like, you know what else busts? Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah. This slime's giving me an idea.
At the end of the round, the scores are Alex still on 0 points, Joseph still on 2 points, Audrey still on 3 points, but now on 8 points, way out in front, it's Tim Clark.
Wow. All right, I want to say a big thanks to Ghostbusters 2. And I'd like to say ignoring sex in the pursuit of mediocre comedy is what's got me here today.
All right, this round is called Yeah, Nah, Yeah. In this round, each of you are given a fact about another person on the panel. If you think it's true, you say yeah. If it's a lie, you'll say nah. You can ask me as many questions as you want. If you get it right, you get a point. If you're incorrect, the person the fact may or may not be about, they get the point. So to Tim. Now, when Joseph was in Birmingham, he was scammed out of $1,000 when he bought a TV out of the back of a van. He knew it was a scam when he got it home, unwrapped it to discover a smaller box inside the bigger box, and the smaller box was full of old books. Yeah or nah?
Well, Joe, first off, when you were in Birmingham, were you disappointed that it's no longer part of the EU? Big Euro head, human.
I went there when it was part of the EU, thankfully, you know, and I was just reveling
You were laughing then.
Yeah, I was loving it every second of it.
You were just thinking, I've got one passport, I can jump back and forth. I'm guessing it's Joe Moore. And so, yeah, run me through how you came across this deal of the century.
Well, I was in the market for television. I was staying, living there at the time on a little part of a kind of a year-long round the EU vacation where many of my great tweets originated. And I was in the market for a TV, so I went to the store and it was closed. And there was a guy with a van outside it. He was like, I got the TVs. And apparently this is a common scam in Birmingham, which I didn't know to be the case at the time. And I thought, this guy seems legit. He told me he worked at the shop and it was closed, but he had them. He could sell it to me straight out of the van. And he gave me one for £500, which was the amount I was willing to spend. And I went home and it was chocker with books.
Oh, all right. So in a way, he gave you a great deal because books are just the gateway. You can have, you can see only a finite amount of TV shows, but the worlds that you can escape to with books.
Yeah, I think he was put there by kind of the English Teachers Association to get our minds off the idiot box. And
He was a big worm with big glasses.
Precisely. Yeah. And a kind of really a really tight polo shirt.
Did you have any recourse after this? Did you go to the Birmingham cops, knocked on their big helmets, and said, "Hey, I've just been scammed"? Well, I know very little about England.
As did I, and I was too embarrassed. It would turn out, Tim, far too embarrassed to tell anyone that I'd been scammed like this, because I googled it, and apparently it's a thing called a white van scam. Very common, normal thing to do. To scam idiots, and they mainly target old people, but they lucked out with a young'un on that day. They rent white vans, so I can't tell anyone the number plate of the guy, and they scam people, sell them fake TVs, give the van back. Nothing I can do about it.
Oh, that's a damn shame. Yeah. Or I would say that if I thought it was real. Because Joseph Moore, I want a little Joseph less of your lies. I'm going to lock in, Josh, that was a big fat lie.
Tim, you are correct. Yes, wow. That was not a true story, but it was based on so much truth.
It was almost entirely true. Josh added the books. but I did give a bad man in Birmingham $1,000 or £500 on my way to Edinburgh. I needed two TVs, and he sold them to me out of a van. And we thought, this is a great plan. And... Yeah. And I left my partner, who's in the car with one of them, while the other drove me to an ATM. It's the worst thing I've ever done, and I don't know. I wish the book thing was true. Now,
were there TVs in the boxes, or what?
Broken old TVs.
Okay.
Yeah, and I didn't open. I could have opened the box and gone, "Oh, what's in here?"
I like how Josh was asking whether or not there were TVs in there, because if there were, not a great story. No, I paid this guy £500 for a TV, and I open up the box, and blinking me down.
But I almost wrote this to be like, you got it, but there was no remotes, and then you were going to go back, and to buy the remote was going to be another £500. So that was going to be, but I thought that's too unbelievable. But I thought books might be believable. All right, so Tim, you got a point. Okay, now to Joseph.
Okay.
Alex's 19-month-old son is obsessed with penises. And every night before he falls asleep, we'll list every person that he knows, and Alex has to confirm if they do, in fact, have a penis or not. Yeah or nah?
Every person he knows?
Yeah.
So, like, is it the same people every night that he just kind of goes through to figure it out?
Yeah, sometimes, that you know, there might be new people that he's met, but it's like grandma. No, grandma doesn't have a penis. Grandpa, yep, grandpa's got a penis. And it just makes me have to think about all of these people's penises or lack thereof. Yeah, you know.
Is he starting to kind of figure out any kind of clues, you know, or any kind of consistencies between who does and doesn't have a penis? Is there some that he starts to go, you know what, I'm not asking about grandpa tonight because... We've had a yes on grandpa for the last 27
nights. Yeah, in a way, it's a lot like this podcast. We should add it as a round. No, he doesn't actually. The question needs to be asked every single time, and I don't. I haven't taught him the word, for vagina. I don't want to say vulva because. You know, I don't want a toddler walking around saying that. So just at the moment, I'm getting away with just saying, no penis.
It's so funny because I, as a kid, I've got brothers, no sisters. Oh, I've got half sisters, but they didn't live with us. But we never had a word for vagina in our house. Just never, it never came up.
Really?
Yeah.
It was Fanny
well,
in our
Josh,
house.
I know a pastor with a projector who would be able to shed a little bit of light on how it works.
Do you what else is part of the bedtime routine? Do you read him stories or anything like that?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it exclusively penis listing?
No, well we try and get it away from the penis listing, but also we have to read books and sing the same song over and over again. It's very repetitive and boring.
Yeah, well, kids like the same thing again and again, right?
They do, yeah.
So it's same books, same songs, same ask who's got a penis and who doesn't.
yeah, it's comforting.
Alex talks about how you shouldn't fat shame the fat controller. Goes on to the other books.
Yeah, I read all my boring tweets until he falls asleep.
Are you always honest? Like, will you always be honest as far as you know who has and doesn't have a penis?
Yeah, that's true. It's actually probably quite, you know, I don't know. A lot of these people are my friends and, you know, I don't know for sure. I haven't seen all of their penises or not penises. But,
do you make that clear when you're talking to them?
Yeah, I should.
Well, also, I'm merely speculating that Grandpa has a penis here. But
Yeah. But, you know, you should check for yourself.
You know, I don't know. I don't have kids. And I'm guessing that this is all they do is, you know, but the ones I've met, they were cool. And they had inquisitive minds. I think I believe this, so I'm going to go with it. I'm going to say
you are correct, Joseph. This is a real story, yes. Point of Joseph, yes.
Yeah. He also goes mummy moustache, which isn't very nice. Points
at. Nightly as well?
And I'm like, mummy, no moustache. And he's like, mummy dash. It's really brutal. And he points at my pimples as well.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
He's a misogynist. He's not yet too.
All right, to Alex now. Now, Audrey, while once on a date, accidentally pissed on herself, and remarkably, the date did not end there. Yeah or nah?
Oh, okay. Where was the location of this date, please?
It was at a beach in Christchurch.
And was that is that where the date ended up, or were you like, let's go meet at this beach?
He picked me up and we went to a beach and we hung out there for a while. And that's where I accidentally pissed on myself. Which, I mean, if you're going to pick a public place to piss on yourself, the beach is probably ideal. As opposed to like the mall or something. I don't know. So, and then we went back to his place. So
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you like, were you clothed when you pissed, or were you like swimming in the water? So was it fun?
So I went into the sand dunes to piss. So I was being responsible. I wasn't just like free for all. I'm just going to piss. And it wasn't like so funny. He made me piss myself. I needed to piss. And I went into the sand dunes and usually it's pretty straightforward situation. But for some reason, and I was sober as well, for some reason I just started pissing all over my left leg, just all down my legs, and I couldn't stop, and it was really bad. And I, you know, don't usually go on dates. We don't usually do that. Do you guys go on dates in Australia?
Did people in New Zealand not date?
No,
because they already know each other already.
Yeah, we just, I don't know, date, like, that's why it was so exciting. Like, usually, like, we just get drunk with each other, hand jobs, and move in the next day. So it was, like, pretty exciting.
We don't have those here yet.
Yeah.
No. And so I pissed all over myself, and I had to walk back and tell him.
All right. So you didn't even try to hide it. You just say, hey.
There was no way I could hide it. It was, and we were so far from the water that I couldn't just be like, oh, let's go swimming and like wash it off. Like yeah. I had to, yeah.
And so what
did you try and say to him? No, it's not pit. It's a mirage. That's what it is.
There was a lot of jellyfish around.
I know. I thought of that. I thought like, yeah, I could tell him that like, you know, I got stung by a jellyfish and had to like piss myself, but. You know, guys like being the hero, so then he might want to piss on me.
Did he want to do any piss stuff when you went home with him, or?
No,
oh,
no.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was very, yeah, so, it's such a gentleman.
That's
so.
How low the bar is for men. Yeah, that's how low. Yeah. Oh. Didn't want to piss on you? Get a ring.
I want to see this scene in a romantic comedy, like the clumsy girl being like, whoopsie.
Yeah.
I slipped down my own leg.
That's a so real piss cute.
Yeah, piss cute. Perfect.
Piss congeniality.
Piss busters.
Yeah.
look, I think that's a true story.
You are correct. That is a true story. Yes. Point there for Alex. You got a point, Alex.
Yay.
Good work.
Yeah. It's up to you, Audrey. Do you want to keep going with the story or do you...
I could. It's very embarrassing. I could.
Oh, that wasn't the embarrassing bit?
No, that was the least embarrassing part. Do you actually...
Oh, yeah, okay, absolutely need to hear this.
So, all right, I'll make it really quick. So we went back to his place and I thought, this is great. Like, it's in the past now. You know, it was 20 minutes ago. We've got over it. And we started getting sexy with each other. And I went down on him. And New Zealand men don't communicate very well, usually. And so something happened that I wasn't prepared for and I got a bit of a fright. And... you know when you, like, someone tells you something really funny and you're drinking a milkshake? And he snatches up my nose all over him. And everywhere. The whole thing. So, yeah, it was good. It was a great day. It was really good.
That's why in Melbourne, if you're in Melbourne, mask up, everyone. Mask up. Okay, so you got a point there, Alex. Okay, so to Audrey now. To Audrey. When Tim was in primary school, his class arranged for everyone in the grade to have a pen friend from a school in the country. On the day when all the letters came back, Tim opened up his, and all it said in huge, scrawly writing was, "Suck a fart." He never told the teacher, though, because he thought that he would somehow get in trouble. Yeah or nah?
Oh, my goodness. Sorry, so how old were you when this happened?
I was year one, so what is that, 7 or 8 years old?
Grade one.
Grade one, am I overshooting it?
No, grade
one. Maybe it was grade three then. I can't remember how old I was.
Yeah, you like six, seven in grade one, yeah.
Okay, so about 7. All right. All right. And so you guys were like pen pals with people who lived in the country, like the middle of nowhere type situation.
Yeah. Like my, I'd heard about it because my cousins were... regional, and they kind of had the same, like the opposite, where they were getting city folk to send letters out there. So we were getting it. It was kind of like, I think it must have been some organization that organizes it, because we were getting them from, mine was from SA, we were getting some from New South Wales and Northern Territory. And yeah, everyone got these really nice handmade little envelopes as well, with little love hearts over the eyes, and I'm sure some of them got care packages from things that we didn't get in our state. And then little 7-year-old Timmy Clark opens up his, expecting, what wonders does South Australia offer? Some Barossa Valley wine, perhaps? I don't know where that's from. And then, yeah, just a line sheet of paper that said, "Suck a fart."
That's traumatic. Did you write a letter to this kid first?
Yeah, so I sent them a nice letter saying, "My name's Tim, my favourite colour is blah, I like to do this, want to come around and play Nintendo 64 on my massive widescreen sheet." And then, yeah, I got sucker fart back, which I don't know if it was an insult or like a doing word.
Suggestion. Was it written in like big cute bubble letters with different coloured felts, or like what did it look like? The sucker part.
It looked like a serial killer had left a message on a wall somewhere. It was one color, kind of jagged writing, "suck a fart." Like, I wish it was bubble writing. That'd be great. Get a couple of like glitter gel pens in there. Really spice it up. Yeah. And get a ruler down the side, put the date in, put the effort in.
Yeah.
Kid from South Australia.
What did you do with the letter after you? So you're afraid to tell the teacher because you'd get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember your thinking behind that?
I think there was no thinking behind it.
Right.
I think my thinking was the teacher would think I had written something similar to the first person initially. Like I had said, "Blow it out your ass or kick rocks."
Yeah.
I sound like a 20s gangster. Yeah. I'd say something like that, and they were responding in kind. But I sent like a really nice letter to this little boy, and yeah. That was my thinking. I thought she would think that I had instigated this somehow.
Right. That makes sense, actually. And what did you do with the letter afterwards?
I hid it in my bag, and I must have thrown it out later because I'd never showed my teacher, didn't show my friends, didn't show my mum.
How do you know it actually happened?
Because if not, that's a fucking weird trauma to have.
Like,
that I've invented.
No one else saw the letter. I mean,
what a weird offshoot of my imposter syndrome where I imagine a kid in another state told me to suck a fart. Not even like one of the bigger kids at school told me to suck a fart. No, I had to spend money on stamps, and so did they, to tell me to suck a fart.
Oh.
You know what? I'm with you, Audrey. I hope this isn't true.
What do you think? Do you think it is true, Audrey, or do you think it's a lie?
It sounds like something kids would do, and I believe the logic behind assuming that you'd get in trouble for it. So I'm going to say, yeah, I think it's true.
You are incorrect. It was a lie. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yes.
Mr. Podcast.
See, all my inner demons just tell me to kill myself. You got to play this game smart.
Well, I'm glad that didn't happen to you, because that's just an awful thing to receive in the mail.
It would. Thank you very much.
Did you actually tell another kid to suck a fart?
No, the truth is I just thought it would be very funny for a kid to receive a pen pal letter that just said suck a fart.
Yeah.
I still think it's funny at age 39. At the end of that round, the scores are Alex on 1 point, Joseph on 3, Audrey on 3, and Tim on 10 points.
Oh. Wow.
That's all right.
Is there any point still going?
Yes, you can all still win.
Okay.
Because you're about to have 10 questions. This round is called Hoo-Hoo. This is our final round. I'm going to read out 10 questions about you four. Not that nice, Joe. Come on, you've had fun, right? Okay. Like,
Joe.
Buzz in if you think you know the answer. Your names are your buzzers. You get a point if you get it right, a point off if you get it wrong. The only round you can lose points. So here we go. Question one. Who here had a substitute scripture teacher in year 3 when they left the class for the day, said, bye, see you all in heaven?
Tim?
Yes, Tim.
Joe?
No, that was Alex. A point off Tim. Tim loses a point.
Yeah.
Hey, I just chose the most heavenly looking creature I'm looking at right now.
He's got a bit of, like, you know, a halo around him right now.
But you were saying there was more to this lady.
Yeah, she was like this crazy woman, and she would make us march around the classroom, like clapping our hands like this, like singing all the books of the Bible, like all of the New Testament. And like, it's like one of those things that sticks in your head from primary school that, you know, will just be like in your head when you're on your deathbed. You know, it's like Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, Acts and letters to the Romans. And it's just like, I guess that's traumatic. Yeah. It was so weird. And then, like, she just came. You know how substitute teachers, you just have no context for who they are. They're just there one day and then they disappear. Yeah. And we were all just reminded of our own inevitable mortality as she left.
It's going to be so good when you do see her in heaven, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, when I was working in a school, I used to work in a library at a school, and we had a sub teacher who would work there, who would come in, bring his class into the library where I was. He would grab the paper and then on his phone make bets for the entire day. He'd just read the form guide. And I would be in charge of this. Like, he did it like 3 times before I went to the principal and said, that guy is the worst. You cannot employ him anymore. Also, he never won. He was never happy about his bets.
Well, all right,
question two. Who once befriended someone as a child because this person had a spiral staircase in their house?
Joseph.
Yes, Joseph.
Tim?
No, that was Audrey, a point off Joseph there. Yeah.
God damn it.
Spiral staircases were the shit. Yeah.
Don't know how they get their furniture upstairs.
Next question. Who here has worked with the director of Shrek?
Tim?
Yes, Tim.
See?
Joe?
Yes, you are correct. A point there for Tim, yes.
I was the voice of Donkey.
Who was the director? It only just occurred to me that that film had a director.
Yeah. What, you think they just winged it on the day?
Yeah. I think
they got Shrek in and he just riffed it.
Yeah. Just him and Joe.
No, what was the film? It was Prince Caspian?
Yeah, Prince Caspian. I played the role of Bully. From the director of Shrek and Shrek 2, Andrew Adamson. And it was one of his only 2 live-action features. His other one was The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I had a line, and it was, get out of here in a Cockney accent, which I can't, I don't, no longer am able to do. Get out of here. Oh. That's why, and it was cut from the film. But the good news is there was a picture of, a still of me was in the novelization book where they have little pictures in the middle pages from the film. That managed to, that was my big moment. So if you're ever in a kind of used bookstore, or perhaps you buy a TV full of books, look out for me.
Yeah, you should have used that line on those guys.
Next question. Who here was recently overly personal with their dentist?
Joseph.
Yes, Joseph.
Audrey?
No, that was Tim. Point off Joseph. Yes.
I'm sorry. Sorry for thinking that.
I had a dentist appointment booked a couple of weeks ago because apparently I get quite bad stress in my jaw and I grind my teeth. What is there to be stressed about? And they sent me one of those confirmation texts, like text back Y, N to confirm, and I text back Y, but I was also texting someone else at the same time. So I texted yes to confirm, and I accidentally sent to them, hey, I hope your family are doing well in this time too, XX.
It's really nice though. I'm sure they were happy. Yeah. Going, oh,
they would have appreciated that.
They responded with thank you.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. Nice.
No X back?
No X back. No. Aww. Never gone back to there.
All right, next question. Who, according to Twitter, has the neatest handwriting around?
Tim?
Yes, Tim.
Well, should be me. But is it Alex?
No, it is Audrey, according to Twitter. Very neat handwriting, do you, Audrey?
I do. Oh, my God. Everyone gets me to write their Christmas cards for them, send letters to children, sucker fire. I've got very neat handwriting.
What kind of handwriting is it? Is it like printing like in like primary school books, or is it like...
Anything. It's like my one talent, my biggest talent. I've got very neat handwriting, and I work with a lot of people who are quite a bit younger than me. And I think when they were in school, they weren't writing as much as I would have been. They had all the computers, and so they've got super messy handwriting and I can't read it, but it like gives me this like massive ego. So I've got, just very neat handwriting from not having technology at school.
Next question. Who here at a comedy festival had another comedian try and make them fight a big international act?
Audrey.
Yes, Audrey.
Was it Joe?
No, that was Tim Clark. A point off Audrey there, yes.
Damn it.
Yeah, I just fight international acts just by my own choice.
I've heard. So.
Yeah. So let's say, Tim, so you were being bullied to fight another comic. Who was the other comic that they wanted you to fight? And then we'll reveal who the bully was.
Hannibal Buress.
Okay.
Like a fist fight?
Yeah. It was like up the Comedy Festival Hi-Fi Bar. And the other comic just kept nudging me and saying, that's Hannibal Buress. Why don't you go up there and start a fight with him? The other comic, by the way, was Bill Cosby. So now that I say it out loud, I see his intentions. It all makes sense now.
No, who was the other comic?
Sam Campbell.
Being bullied by Sam, come on.
Yeah.
Have some respect, Tim.
Truly the Bill Cosby of Australian comedy, Sam Campbell.
Who is the strongest comedian?
Ben Knight. Do you know Ben Knight, the Melbourne comedian? Big red hair.
You just want to be muscly. Held in his arms.
The Australian Comedy Festival is just full of very, like, in-shape men. It always always surprises me. New Zealand, none of us are in shape. But when I go over there, there's just all these hot dudes with like sleeve tattoos. It's really, really impressive what you got going on over there.
You are doing some. You're not doing the open mics in Melbourne. Let me tell you that. Little soft boys like me prowling around.
All right, next question. Who here has shared a car with Ron Jeremy?
Tim.
Alex.
Yes, Tim. I heard Tim first.
Audrey?
Yes, you are correct. Point there for Tim. Yes.
Oh, wow.
This is years ago. There was a bunch of porn stars over in Auckland for Erotica Expo. And so I was helping out with promoting and stuff. And we got picked up in a van and I didn't know who would be in the van. And I got in and there was Ron Jeremy, and Alexis Texas. And do you remember that, like, porn star that broke up Sandra Bullock's marriage? She has, like, tattoos on her forehead. She slept with Sandra Bullock's husband. She was Dita dead, too, and it was very intimidating.
I've heard, what? Allegedly. That? I'm not sure.
What's that, sorry?
Dita Von Teese, that burlesque performer?
No, it was, her name's, like, Michelle Bombshell McGee. And she's honey.
McGee's her last name?
I know! She had to get the bombshell and there was Michelle McGee. I'd be so gutted if I was married and my husband's like, I cheated on you with Michelle McGee. I'd be so... So it was pretty wild, but they're very polite. And we stopped at a gas station and Ron Jeremy got pineapple lumps and he thought they were chewing gum.
This is the most, like, sincere and, like, sweet story I've ever heard about being picked up in a van by Ron Jeremy. The van rolled up and porn stars were inside and I got in and, hey, we had some nice sweeties later in the afternoon.
Your last name is Porn. Did they give you the job because they thought, like, your dad was the CEO of porn?
Yes, that's exactly right. I just coast through life with that, yeah.
Audrey Porn. Oh, the Hampton Porns.
Next question. Who once got a lift with a witch who got lost and this 15-minute journey ended up taking them an hour and a half?
Audrey.
Yes, Audrey.
Was it Alex?
It was Alex. Yes, a point there for Audrey.
What? You have to tell us about that.
Yeah, well, like, Ron Jeremy offered me a lift and I said no. It was at the Melbourne Fringe Festival and I was going to go home with this guy and he had ridden his bike because Melbourne and I live in Sydney and I was just waiting for a cab and this lady was like, hey, babe, do you need a lift? Like, do you want to come with me? And, like, a slightly older lady calling me babe. I was like, I'll do anything for you. Yeah, and then so, he only lived, like, 15 minutes away. And, and then she started telling me how she was a witch, and I've never met a witch before. And she was telling me all about crystals and, you know, her coven and stuff like that. And she got very into it and she got very lost and, I was just stuck in a car with a strange witch for a while.
Oh, goodness. But I don't know if you guys can hear this, but, like, genuinely, as you were telling that story, a dog started howling like a wolf 2 houses down. It's still going? Oh, that's creepy.
Dogs. But the good news. Famous friends of the witch.
Yes. But there is a happy end to the story because the guy who you were going back with.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Why am I being weird? He became my husband. I was trying to find a word. We got married. That's what I was trying to say. Wow. Eventually. Does he have that.
Does he have a penis?
I'll have to check with my son.
Right, next question. Who had the armed guards enter the McDonald's they worked in as a teenager because this person accidentally set off the alarm?
Alex.
Yes, Alex.
Joseph?
No, that is Audrey. A point off Alex there.
My 1 point.
I like how you're keeping score of your own points.
I was just doing, like, geography in my, you know, trying to figure out who, based on where they grew up, would most likely have an armed guard ready to go. I didn't think we did that over here.
Yeah, and it was in Invercargill as well.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a whole thing. It was very embarrassing. Basically, I was in the office, the McDonald's office, having a lunch break, and my crush was also on his lunch break, and he's like, what's that button under the desk? And I was like, I don't know. And he's like, I dare you to push it. And I'm like, I'm obsessed with you, so of course I will. And I pushed it, and then nothing happened, right? Nothing. So I was like, okay. And then the phone rang, like, a minute later, maybe 30 seconds, and they were like, are you okay? We just got this signal, da da da. And I was like, oh no, we're fine, like, it's all good. And he's like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. And hung up. And then, like, 4 minutes later, they all turned up and they all had the gear on. It was a whole thing. It was so embarrassing.
Is that because when they said, are you sure, you said, yes, I am, yellow, and then
Yeah, they just, men don't believe women. So they turned up and, they just But it was very, very embarrassing.
And our final question.
About that is halfway through.
Oh, go for it, Tim.
No, I was going to say halfway through, the sound of a deep fryer just came on next door. Glad I stumbled getting out of the starting lineup for that one and then had to go back and pick it up.
Our final question for the game. Which of you was hit by a car in front of their favourite sports people?
Audrey.
Yes, Audrey.
Is it Joseph?
That is Joseph. A point there for Audrey, yes.
Correct. I was 12. I was walking across the street outside the home of a player from the Wellington Hurricanes. His name was Philo Tiatia. I loved him. He was one of my heroes. And I got hit by a car going 40 kilometres an hour. And a crowd gathered around me on the ground. And he came out of his house to have a look at the boy who had been hit by a car. And wow. when I came to, I looked up and thought, there he is, my hero. And, and he watched on as I got loaded into an ambulance.
Were you okay?
I was okay. I stopped doing PE for the next 6 months, which kind of really shaped who I became as an adult.
Yep.
and I never got to live up to the lofty heights of Philo Tiatia's professional rugby career.
At the end of the game, the scores are Alex Lee on 0 points.
Woo!
Sorry, Alex.
Hey,
no,
that's all right. Even though I'm clearly the person who cares about points the most, I'm fine with it.
Joseph Moore on 1 point.
Thank you so much.
Audrey Porn on 4 points, but our winner on 10 points is Mr. Podcast himself. It's Tim Clark. You really came to play today, Tim.
Well, his dad's the CEO of podcasts. So.
Yes. Now, Tim.
Nepotism, alive and well.
Because you win, you can promote whatever you want to promote first. You got anything to plug in this crazy lockdown period?
Yeah, let me just check my calendar. Oh, that's right. Fuck all. follow me on all the social medias, Twitter, Instagram, at Mr. Timothy Clark. It's a weird time in Melbourne. If you're looking for a charity to donate to, I know Berry Street do a lot of good work, so I just want to give them a plug. Sweet. Just stay safe out there, and the important thing is follow me on all the social medias.
Audrey, where can people find you?
At Audrey Porn on Twitter. Please don't cyberbully me. And if you go Audrey Porn Comedian on Facebook, I've got a page. And when we're doing gigs again, you'll be able to see that and hopefully come along.
Very, very funny on Twitter. Follow Audrey on Twitter. Alex, where can people find you?
Well, we're all going to look like real pieces of shit now for not saying a charity. So give to a charity, I guess.
All part of the plan.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. My Instagram is dull, mostly pictures of my child. I've got a podcast called The Dragon Friends, where a bunch of comedians play D&D. I do sketches on the feed if you want to watch them. Up to you.
You can talk it up. It's really funny. You're very funny, Alex. And Joseph, where can people find you?
Oh, I'm on Twitter. At Joseph Moore 1, not at Joseph Moore. He's a Christian photographer from Texas. And I'm in a musical comedy duo called Two Hearts. We are releasing some music soon, but you can find out about us at twohearts.co.nz. That's T-W-O. Hearts.
Brilliant. Thank you all for playing so much. For those who are interested, support the podcast by going to the Patreon. So it's patreon.com/DYKWIA. Brand new episode each week, a bonus episode called Top 5, where me and a friend count down the top 5 of a topic. And this week's one was with Bella Green, where we counted down the top 5 songs from the 1996 Hottest 100. There you go. It's a very good year for music. That's all we need to say. Thanks for doing this, and I'll see you next time. Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.